So those first years of being an intuitive storyteller and having this intuitive process open up for me were really extraordinary and amazing and kind of magical and deeply ungrounded. It really was a time of wonder and disorientation at the same time. I had the experience that I had tapped into a wisdom that was far larger than my conscious mind. Often I would tell stories, sometimes just on my own, to the microphone. I would tell stories. I'd have no idea what it meant. It was only when I listened back to the story that I'd hear the wisdom that was being expressed. I'd catch the deeper message. It was like it was bypassing my conscious mind altogether. And yet the stories that came, they came into the template that I had taught myself of European folk tales. There were witches, there were trolls, there were ogres, there were princesses, there were kings, there were and so on and so on. By deeply studying the European folktale, I think what I'd done is I'd sort of absorbed the European story mind, the Western story mind, you could say, such that when this intuitive material came, it had a template, it had a place to go, it had a form in which to flow. So these stories that I was receiving, even though they were delivering a teaching that I didn't consciously understand, they came into a context that was really familiar to me, that I had at my fingertips, as it were. So I kept telling and I kept telling and I kept telling. And after a while of just telling for myself, I started performing for adults. And I told stories for years and years for adults, usually small groups, and sometimes not always the easiest of experiences. I wasn't that fluid and fluent with what I was doing. I was often needing to go quite slow to catch the next image. And anyway, the art of performing an intuitive story is quite something. You've got to be inwardly very alert to the images and the inner promptings and the inner voice, and outwardly you need to be engaging your audience, and that's quite a double act to pull off. And it took me years and years to really get that to a point where I could feel confident in front of an adult audience that I was going to give them not just a kind of esoteric experience, but something that was entertaining and engaging. But in all that time, I hadn't really found a way in which this intuitive wisdom could speak to children. I would sometimes go into a local school and I'd tell a few stories in that school. And sometimes the stories that came through were great. They were, you know, nice for the kids, and the kids engaged with it and got it. And some of those stories are actually on Palace of Stories. But a lot of the time I'd be coming out with stuff that was really rather adult. It was too esoteric. It was all about the spiritual path and a transformation of consciousness in a very adult way. So it remained for me a real question: how do I share this inner wisdom, this inner treasure that I've found? How do I bring that to children in a form that they can really understand? Well, this became more and more of a question to me, and more of an issue. And in the summer of 2009, it really came to a head for me. I was taking part in a workshop that was all about contacting the grief that we feel about the state of the world. And I contacted this huge, huge sadness and longing in me, which was about the culture that children absorb, the culture that in our modern times is being offered to children in terms of the stories that they read and see and the movies and TV. And I had this sense of the image I got was of, you know, children ingesting junk, like poison, almost toxic to them. And there it came from me, this huge, huge desire. It was actually, in a way, the strongest expression of longing that I've ever experienced. It felt almost transpersonal. It didn't feel like it was me. That children hear stories that are nourishing to them, that have spiritual wisdom and depth to them and give children a sense that their inner lives matter and that the inner life is as important as the worldly life, and that the values of the heart and the perennial values that all spiritual traditions have taught for thousands of years, I wanted those put into a form that children could take in and be nourished by. And this was really kind of a turning point for me. And at that time, my son was 4 and my daughter was 2. And I just said, I've got to start somehow. I've got to start telling stories for kids. And I really didn't know what to do about that, because I'd go into my recording studio with Luke, who was 4, and he would be 4. He'd loon around. And I'd try and get him to sit still and tell a story, and he'd suddenly call out. And it would drive me crazy. I'd be pulling out my hair, and I'd just come home completely frustrated. And one time I was saying all of this to Stella, my wife, and she said, listen, why don't you just tell them stories and forget about whether you can use it? Just tell him stories every night. He needs to hear stories. But for me, it was like, no, I've got to create my work. I need to get these stories to the other children in the world, not just my own. And then we hit upon this brilliant idea, which was that I would record stories for my kids at bedtime using a digital recorder, a little handheld digital recorder that I'd place on the floor. But then I'd take those recordings and I'd go into my recording studio and record them properly. I'd retell the stories. Well, that's what we did. And it worked brilliantly. Over a 3-year period, I calculate roughly 800 stories to my children at bedtime. Luke was 4, Lara was 2 when we started. And when we finished, Lara was 5, Luke was 7. So we took in that age range of children, particularly kind of the younger age range of children. And I told and I told and I told and I told. And the very best stories that I told at bedtime, I would take the recording, listen back to it, and then go back into my studio and tell it again. The strange thing was, I wasn't telling from memory when I retold it. Oddly enough, to my surprise, the images would kind of come back and I'd still get a flow of images. And I'd even hear my inner voice kind of guiding me through the process of telling a story that, even though it resided in my memory, I was nonetheless still telling it in the way I always tell stories, which is with a strong connection to my intuition. So that was a sort of unusual turnout, but it simply meant that I was able to create a lot of material. Over those years, I also would do storytelling at a local cafe on Saturday mornings for kids and their parents. And some of those tellings are really, really great. I really enjoyed those. And they're kind of lively and atmospheric. Those two ended up on Palace of Stories. And also, me and the kids and Stella would go off on camps during the summer. And I'd often be the storyteller on those camps as well. And some of those tellings ended up on the site too. And once we were no longer doing stories at bedtime, the kids would come into my recording studio with me, and I would tell them stories that were, again, in the moment, but in the recording studio. And they wouldn't mess around this time because they'd be that much older. So including those stories and all the performances and the bedtime stories, I calculate that my kids heard almost 1,000 stories from me over a 4-year period. And in going back over that material and listening back to all the recordings that I ever made, what I actually found was that some of the bedtime recordings that I'd made were actually kind of unrepeatable. They were really good, although they were never intended to be kind of used in or published in any way. Some of them, the atmosphere is really delicious. There's a tenderness and a warmth there. As I said earlier, storytelling is about relationship, and the relationship between me and my kids has been the context for all of this work for children to emerge. So some of those bedtime tellings I chose to put on the site too, because they just have a lovely atmosphere, and you can hear the story unfolding in that context of children's bedtime. And in looking back over all this work, I can say, oh, I did it. I did it. I managed to create a body of work that expresses the intuitive stories in a form that children can understand. And that really is my deep longing, that our culture, adults, children, we start hearing stories again that remind us that the inner life is vital, that our inner world has to be full, has to be nourished, if our world, our outer world, is to be in balance. I think we're at a tipping point in our cultural evolution, and we need to refind stories that remind us of that, stories that remind us of the inner life and of attaining a balance in ourselves and in our world. So thanks for listening to my story. I hope you and your family find much to enjoy here on Palace of Stories. God bless.